We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Molly and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the score. Our thanks to the fine folks at WSCR. The score, great people, just caring individuals and sharers, givers.
Not takers. No.
You heard the voice there, John Lester. And then, of course, Joe Madden, the manager of the soon-to-be NL Central clinching Chicago Cubs.
Yeah, and not a lot of swing and a miss. You had four strikeouts in six innings for John Lester, a couple walks. But Lester didn't sound like he was doing handstands about it, but he said he'll take that and move on.
I will get to the phone calls. We have a lot of people want to check in, and that's fine. And we'll get to the national anthem talk if that's what you want to do. Again, civility is the call of order. We're going to follow Robert's rules. And don't be making nasty texts, you know, because you feel you have some anonymity and you can insult people. We're not interested in hearing your insults. But we are interested in hearing if there's anything you have to say that is relevant to the conversation. But I want to ask you a question about the Cubs, Brian. And, you know, maybe Dustin could answer this as well, since he's another resident Cubs fan. When you look back on this season, if indeed they do clinch the division, are you going to be satisfied with what happened in this season? Taking into account, and again, the playoffs are a different animal altogether, and the Cubs might be the hottest team and they might run away with it, or there could be something else going on. But I think that when you just look at the entirety of the season and you think about how difficult the thing this is to accomplish, will you feel good about the fact that they have won the division, or will you feel like high time?
Well, just because if I keep in perspective and know that this is the first World Series champion that's getting back to the playoffs in a long, long time, and I know the Giants were a victim of that a couple times in the last 6-8 years, that's an accomplishment. So there has to be something to that where there is some sort of hangover. I know Chris Bosio earlier in the season told us when he looked at his pitchers, it felt like they had a 30-pound vest on, you know, the weighted vest on throughout the season. The streakiness, I mean, you know, Joe kept saying it was just going to have to be a different way. It just was. And the dominance to this streakiness, all or nothing, couple weeks great, couple weeks awful. That was, you know, I need a Dramamine. And that was not easy to get accustomed to. The fact that they've won 11 of 13 heading into the postseason and look like they are having fun and they are really focused, I'm really encouraged about that right now. That this team looks like the team from 2016 now, where you're getting, you know, key hits, you're getting two out runs being driven in, and you know, the question.
So they're playing their best baseball. I mean, there's no doubt about it, and they're healthy, right? Yeah. Addison Russell coming back is big, right?
And look, I mean, he's doing well. Yeah, doing well. So I mean, it you know, the pitching, okay, you don't have Scherzer and Strasburg, I get that, but the guys you're going to roll out there in whatever order, not too shabby either.
Dustin, same question.
Yeah, I usually, as we know, I'm not a metrics guy and a stats guy, but baseball, the numbers, the history of the game is more historical than any other sport. We always refer back, and just the idea that this just doesn't happen that often, that the teams that play, win or lose, that get that far, that there is a historic hangover effect on these teams. And as Brian mentioned, right, I mean, this has been a roller coaster, inconsistent. The headline would be inconsistent.
How many times did you say, Dustin or Mully, how many times did you hear say, oh, this is the game, you know, this series is the springboard?
Yeah, you kept waiting for the button to be pushed.
This is the one that's going to launch them back to being 2016.
But ultimately, they are the best team in the division, and they're going to show that here in another.
They have the best record since the All-Star break in the National League.
Playing as well as you can at the right time. Yeah. You hope it carries through. It's like going back to Saturday's game against the Brewers, right? Mm-hmm. So Thursday, drama. Friday, drama. Saturday, more drama. Wade Davis hasn't blown an opportunity.
Yes.
hope, like, you needed to get one of those. My wife and I were talking. You needed to get one of those out of the way. You didn't want that to be. You didn't want that to be in Washington.
Thank God he lost.
Yeah, there
10
you go.
Days
there
from
you go.
Now, right? Yeah. You got to get
yeah.
that out of the way. You got to learn how to lose and then overcome that loss. So I hope that, like, tonight,
when you see him in a game situation, you get to get a better.
He's been so crucial to this team this year. Where would they be without that guy, right? So I would love him to have that opportunity tonight. They, you know, don't worry about Milwaukee. Take care of your own business. I'd love him to be on the mound tonight.
I want to see Justin Wilson do it again, like he did over there.
That would be great, too.
I think they're going to score another 10 runs. I think
the Cardinals.
It's not within their grasp, and the Cardinals know it.
Did you hear Mike Matheny in the post game?
He's got to go.
He said, well, you know, we had other goals, like the wild card. The second wild card was their goal, and they're 2.5 back with like 5-6 games to go. Good luck to you on that, Mike.
312-644-6767. Let's get to the phone lines. We'll start with Ron. He's on the south side. Hey, Ron.
Hey, guys. You know what? I'm used to talking baseball with you guys. Hey, Mike, it'd be better talking than Lucas Giolito. But look here. I'm going to make 3 points, guys. I'm going to be real quick. First of all, I was pleased to find out that the Pentagon had quit giving money to the NFL. Here's taxpayers' money going to a multi-billion dollar to promote these military displays. That's the first point. Second thing, Brian, you kind of hit on it. I don't see the relevancy of honoring the national anthem at a sporting event. We always talk here in the conversation about sports and entertainment. Well, they don't do it at concerts. And you haven't seen people at some of these concerts. The last thing, guys, I'm going to say this. It really doesn't disturb me when people do not want to honor. What disturbs me more when the country, when people don't participate in the process. We have people, 40% participating. I know people who know the whole baseball lineup, club lineup, don't know the elected official. So as far as the criteria, how we determine patrons, I'm 60 years old. I've never missed any election, and I participate in local. So, see, I think I call it phony patriotism, and I know sports is big, and, you know, that's what you all do. But I think when we tie to things like patriotism, and again, it hasn't done anything for increase in voter participation, which has a stronger bearing on our everyday life. Thanks for letting me get that out.
Yeah, Ron, well said.
Good stuff, Ron.
Always appreciate your contributions. Absolutely. Yeah, you know, if you can't find your way to the polling place, or you don't know where your polling place is because you've never been,
that's ridiculous.
It speaks volumes.
No, it's really sad. Mark is in Barrington. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, guys. In the previous segment, I can't remember who said it, but they said that Ryan Pace will be judged on the success or failures of Trubisky. I think there's more to that. I mean, I'm sure Ryan Grigson thought the same thing in Indianapolis when he drafted Andrew Luck, that he could ride the coattail to him, and then he did nothing to help the rest of the team, lost his job, and now they're the worst team in football, or one of them, and they have to restart all over again. So I don't think the success or failure of the Bears is going to be based solely on Trubisky, as he's still going to need to get weapons around him because there's nobody to throw the ball, build a defensive backfield, and build some depth. So there's a lot more to being a GM than just drafting a good quarterback, because you need to get those guys in the 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th rounds to help build the depth of your team.
Yeah, there's no question about it. You gotta build a football team, and that should be how he's judged. But I think that ultimately, when you stop and think about it, if the quarterback does well, then that lifts the team up. You know, the old adage is, if you have a quarterback, you start at 500. You know, you know the Green Bay Packers know going into the season they're going to be 8-8, and then it's a question of, can the rest of these guys get them to 10, 11 wins, 12 wins, whatever it might be. It's the quarterback is going to guarantee you that you can beat half the teams in the league when you have a really good one like they do. So they start the season at 8-8, and it's a huge advantage because the quarterback touches the ball on every play, every offensive snap, and he is an essential part of it. And it's interesting to see the Bears win a game by sort of, how would you say it, by kind of, you know, diminishing the responsibility of the quarterback, protecting themselves from the quarterback, keeping him from losing the game. And that's a formula too, but that's not a formula. That's a formula that might get you to 500. That's not a formula that's going to
get you
some playoff time.
Right.
So it's definitely, there's definitely some different elements to this and things going on, but the quarterback thing is huge. And you're right, he's got to do a better job and everything else. But
well, in free
agency, we're seeing some good things.
Most leagues, you have three ways to build a team: the draft, trade, or but in football, there's really no trade, so it's free agency's weighted.
Mully and Hanley on the score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Wow. And that is that's pretty rough. That is Alejandro Villanueva apologizing for standing during the national anthem.
That's where we're at. A former Army Ranger feeling that he let his team down.
Yeah, that's rough.
That's really rough. I mean,
312-640. You know, I got to tell you, I don't remember all these stories, but I was talking to someone yesterday, and the question came up, like, why do we play the national anthem before sporting events? And believe it or not, it's connected to the Cubs of all teams. You know, the national anthem developed over time. Like, it's not like we had a national anthem. We had the
poem. It used
poem,
to be played during the seventh inning stretch at times.
Well, what happened was it was the 1918 World Series, and it was the Red Sox against the Cubs. And this was, I believe, during World War II, right?
World War I.
I'm sorry. The Great War, as it was once called. Right. And, you know, a ton of people died in that war. Anyway, the Red Sox second baseman had gotten a furlough to go to the World Series. So he came out of the service to play in the World Series. And in the seventh inning stretch, they strike up. The band started playing the national anthem. I believe it was in Chicago. And I think there was some sort of an explosion the day before. So you had all the war stuff going on.
Sure.
And there were all sorts of political protests. And there were, you know, there were obviously a lot of issues between workers and, you know, people trying to. And anyway, somebody blew up a bomb and four people died or something. It was a really bad event that had happened in history. And so they played the national anthem during it. And this whatever he was, second baseman, third baseman, whatever, he turned and put his hand over his heart and stood at attention for the national anthem. And then everyone in the dugout did it. Everybody in the stadium did it. And that became a tradition then to play the national anthem, but it because it made it like really uplifted the crowd and everything. That had not been something that was normally done.
And it still took time after that. I mean,
and it still took time after that. It was in the 1930s,
right,
when the NFL went to it.
That once you had PA systems in stadiums,
exactly,
and they could play recorded music.
Exactly.
They didn't have to pay a band.
Right.
I mean, there was still a bottom line aspect.
Yeah, it was
to
like it was the Navy band that was playing that day. Apparently.
Yeah, Wrigley Field would have had lights back in the 40s, but they donated all those all the lights and all the equipment to the war effort.
Is that right?
Yeah.
So that's why they never won a World Series, because of their kindness and
patriotism.
William,
yeah.
I like that. Yeah. I like that take. 312-644-6767. Jim is in Crystal Lake. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning. Hey, this whole NFL debacle, I believe they're all associates, and you
I'm
know,
sorry. I'm sorry. They're all associates. Can you define that sentence?
Of the Chicago Bears, they're associates of, you know, the team. So if I were to go to my morning meeting and turn my back to my boss every morning, I would assume there would be some repercussions for me protesting on company time. They're getting paid to do a job. I assume that they're not getting paid to kneel, or they're getting paid to run a play or do this or that.
Okay,
Jim, did you see the owners out there with them?
Yeah,
not here in Chicago, but a number of owners, including last night, were out there too.
John's in Mount Prospect. Hi, John.
Hey, guys. How are you? I want to get past the issue of the flag, and let's actually address, I mean, I'll comment on that later, but let's actually address the issue that the players are trying to bring up, which is a black inequality amongst the police. My dad was a Chicago cop for 31 years, working out of Area 3 at Belmont and Western. One of his partners, a guy named Wayne Martin, went on to be an FBI agent in Georgia. So listening to Goff and Bernstein yesterday had me thinking, oh, I wonder if this is really true. So I called up my dad's buddy, Wayne, and talked to him because he actually did statistics for the FBI. Now, he retired about 3 years ago in, I believe, 2014. But he basically broke down a lot of the stats that he had remembered offhand. And on average, blacks are killed at about half the rate by the police as whites are. So I looked this up for last year, about 750 whites were killed and about 300 blacks. So a little less.
Yeah. Well, I mean, here's the problem. And that's all. I mean, I'm sure you did all your research. Did you take into account the percentage of people, you know, in this country? I just think that, I mean, so what? I don't get the point. It's police brutality, and that was the original reason for the protest. Colin Kaepernick was protesting police brutality and saying that the flag was, you know, representative of that, you know, that in his mind, those things were connected.
Right.
I don't know about all the rest of the statistics or anything else, but I certainly do. I certainly have read plenty of stories about police brutality and unfair treatment and all the rest of it. But I don't think the national anthem is the place to have that protest. However, it started, and the NFL solution was to effectively keep Kaepernick out of the league, apparently, right? That no one wants to employ the guy.
Because of the distraction.
Because
quote
of
unquote.
The distraction. And now it's just, again, you did nothing about it, and now you've gotten to a point where I think the president, looking for, you know, a political benefit with his base, is, you know, threw out some red meat, got a great reaction from it in his mind. He apparently wasn't pleased with the size of the crowd and the rest of it. You know, he knows that he's not going to be able to connect with Democrats. He made some deals with Democrats, and that didn't go over well with the party. So he's going back to his base. And this is something that will fire up his base that people can agree upon, and he's trying to take advantage of that. I don't believe this is a serious.
No, he did not go in there on Friday to Huntsville to try to unify the country and use this as his rallying cry.
He was just
red meat
looking
for
things to that would fire
because
people up.
And
it worked.
I'd love to believe that he believes in a lot of things passionately, and so sure that he does. But that's just my opinion, and you know, I think in the moment. We've seen him when he stays on script on a teleprompter. He says one thing, and apparently on that issue too, he strayed from the script of the speech. And when he starts to just speak off the cuff,
I couldn't say it.
Yeah, when he speaks off the cuff,
extemporaneously.
Yes, right.
When he strays,
he you might actually get a better look of who he really is. But to come out yesterday and have Sarah Huckabee say, you know, oh, this was
Huckabee.
You're sitting there, you're missing the
Sarah
message.
Sarah Huckleberry?
Yeah, well, she has three names too, by the way. There's a maiden name. She has a maiden name. But you know, when she goes out there and says everyone's missing the message,
her married name is Sanders. She's Sarah Huckabee Sanders.
I got you. Sean Spicer.
Did you see the guy? You know what's really funny about the whole thing? I don't know anything about politics, but Trump is down there supporting a guy who's running against the guy. The guy that is opposing Trump's candidate, and I don't even know. I think his candidate is Dr. Strange or something. I don't know. Stephen Strange. But the other guy is unbelievable. The other guy is like – he's been kicked out of their Alabama Supreme Court twice.
Oops.
For like crazy decisions. He is like right of Attila the Hun. The other guy is really – and I think the fear is if the other guy – beats Trump's candidate, that people that are like, you know, just looking at records and all the rest of it will vote for a Democrat because this guy is so far out there. He believes this guy, you know, homosexual has to be banned. The guy is just so far out there. It's kind of funny that Trump is down there supporting a more even
moderate.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And then this happens and people are all up in arms and, you know, my goodness gracious.
It's still 2017, right?
I've lost track. I really have.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Mulley and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 of the Score. You're looking that guy up. It's kind of whacked out.
Wow.
He's out there. All right, let's squeeze in one more phone call. It's Mike. He's in Peoria. Hi, Mike.
you guys doing today?
Good. Hey, morning, Mike. How are you?
I was calling to mention that listen to you guys every morning, and you guys are good at what you do when you talk about sports, but when you get into this politics stuff, if that's what you're going to talk about, I might as well listen to Morning Joe or Fox and Friends and whatever. You know, I just think
Mike, we are sticking to what we do best. Unfortunately, it's turned into sports conversation. That wasn't our idea. We just want to come here and talk about sports.
Yeah.
That's what we know. I'm not pretending I have any understanding of anything else. We're not Fox and Friends. We're not Morning Joe. We don't have a great – Brian has a better understanding of
it. No, you're talking to two guys who stand up – not only stand up for the anthem, I sing the anthem, and I've seen you
sure,
do it too,
Molly. But I'm not – I just think that we're talking about sports. It wasn't my idea to get all this stuff going in sports. I don't really want to talk about this stuff, and we won't be talking about it much longer because we're going to get to John Heyman in a little bit here. I apologize if we're spending too much time on this, but we have full phone lines. People want to talk about it, more than willing to talk about it, more than willing to express opinions on it, just not interested in name calling and some of the text, you know, the text muscles coming from people. Yeah, and I just
nachos all day.
My only request would be civility. I think that these are subjects that people don't agree upon.
Right.
These are things that are, you know, obviously causing great distress. And I get a bad stomach listening to half this stuff, but I just really want people to kind of reel it in and behave and listen. You know, part of having a dialogue is listening what the other person's saying.
Yeah. Shouting and being
yes.
angry for angry's sake. And that's my argument. I'm just going to get mad at whatever you say, and
exactly.
I'm going to get madder still.
Right. So
Greg Popovich said it yesterday, and an Air Force Academy graduate. Mm-hmm. He said the same thing. You know, it's an uncomfortable conversation, and it has to be uncomfortable because there's no middle ground, really. You believe in what you believe, and you don't want someone to try to change your opinion, but you know, it's a conversation everyone's having. So, you know, we can't be Roger Goodell and pretend
no.
it's not going on.
Right. No. We're just trying to deal with the stories as they break. Molly and Hanley, we got, what did I say? I believe John Heyman joins us next. I love talking to John Heyman. We'll do so next. Molly and Hanley on the score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Molly and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the score. John Heyman joins us on the CarX Tire and Auto Hotline. Your car ready for fall weather? See your CarX man. Good morning, John. How are you?
I'm good. Good morning. How are you guys?
Well, we're dancing with a little bit of a pep to our step because, of course, the Cubs are they're in. It's just a question of, I guess, tonight they win the division. So that's pretty good considering the history of baseball. When you stop and think about how hard it is to do, regardless of what kind of slog you had to get there, it's a pretty amazing accomplishment.
Yes, it is. And it looks like they're going into the playoffs in a very strong way. They're playing as well as anybody right now. I guess Cleveland has been pretty darn good up to top that over the last month. But Cubs are playing their best at the right time, so all fans pointing upward for them.
Well, that's the thing. You know, a couple weeks ago, I'm not so sure how confident I would. You know, I kept judging everything by big picture, John, by how's this team look if I project them in October, not whether they're going to win a division that maybe is a little bit better than we thought a couple months ago. But, you know, now that 11 of 13, they made last night look easy. When you start lining up the rotation for the playoffs, and Joe's been asked about this the last few days, and he's basically talked in generalities, do you lean on guys who've been there, done that, like John Lester, or do you go with guys who are more in form right now? So, you know, perhaps Kyle Hendricks or Quintana or Arrieta to start the series?
Yeah, I might lean toward Quintana or one of the other guys at this point. Lester has looked good in the last start that he threw, but you know, I think that he hasn't been great this year. It's probably been his worst year, which, I mean, obviously he's been an amazing pitcher, Hall of Fame career in my mind, so his worst year isn't necessarily a terrible thing, but at this point I would probably go with one of the other guys and go with a hot hand, but it's a tough call. All their pitchers are about equal, I would say, at this point. So it's it's not easy. Hendricks has been pretty good. Arrieta has been really good in the second half. And the only question on him is if he's 100%. He looks okay right now, so I could see Arrieta or Quintana would be my choices, I think.
What if anything does it matter if the Dodgers get home field? Is that, I mean, if they lose it, I can understand it just represents how they've fallen, but does it really matter in baseball? Is it more just you want to make sure that everybody's, up and running and you're not viewed as a team falling apart? I mean, we were talking about the Dodgers as a team that could break that Seattle record, and here they are, just kind of stumbling to the finish line.
Yeah, in their case, I think it's a bad optic. I mean, everybody thought they were an all-time great team.
Right.
The best team, that doesn't look good. But, I'm worried about them. They just have not been that good. Darvish did give them a good start last night. But to go on a streak where you lose 20 out of 25, I mean, that's a pretty bad sign. So scouts I talked to are pretty worried about the Dodgers right now. They do not, obviously, are not an overwhelming favorite anymore. Washington's got the starters. Arizona's dangerous. Obviously, the Cubs are the defending champion. Anybody can win at this point. All four teams, I think, have a shot. I wouldn't say it's equal. Arizona obviously has to get through the wild card, but all four teams are really good.
Does anyone want to win that second wild card slot? I know everyone's talking about it, but they're all kind of, from 1-4 the last 10, 5-5, and really don't look like it. Whatever team wins, it doesn't look like they could do much damage in the playoffs.
No, probably not. Colorado's got home games only left, so they still got the advantage. Milwaukee was playing really well until they ran to the Cubs. So, I think they've been pretty good. As you said, the division looks a little better than we thought, and I've been impressed by them. But, yeah, I don't think they're a threat if they get there. If they get there, it's a victory for them, and they'll be happy with that.
Yeah, the Rockies seem like last I checked, they were like a 75% chance, and the Brewers are down to 14, and the Cardinals, like, I guess, whatever's left. it just seems, and at one point I was kind of hoping we'd have like a three-way tie, but it doesn't seem like that's reasonable.
It's possible. It's still possible. The Rockies have to really choke at home for
right.
that to happen, but it's not out of the question. I mean, it's... there are teams that are well out of it, so we're still thinking, well, maybe we can do it. I've seen that. I mean, I think it's still possible that the Cardinals could get in. I saw at least a friend of mine who's got Angels tickets got a note, an email yesterday that he could order Angels playoff tickets now. So from the Angels. So that's optimism. That's not happening. They're not in. They're 5 out. So that's and they've lost about 7 in a row before finally winning one. So that's not happening. I don't think the Cardinals are completely dead. Obviously, having to play the Cubs makes it tough. But it's still possible. Your dreams still could come true.
Yeah, but any team that can take your money and hang on to it and say, well, just keep that and put it towards your season tickets next year. Hey, by the way, we can earn some interest on that. And even the Cubs.
No way on the Angel playoff tickets at this point.
Yeah.
Twins are a story, though. I mean, got to give the Twins credit. I mean, nobody, zero, picked them to be in the playoffs. Where they win 59 games last year, that's pretty incredible.
When you look at the Yankees, how are they going to be a team that no one really wants to match up against in the playoffs?
I mean, it's dangerous. They got young power. Obviously, Judge is hot right now. Severino is tough. They got a great bullpen. So they have some elements that can do it. I mean, I don't think they have the strongest rotation of the teams. They don't have a lot of experience. And we're talking about the Yankees. That's a little unusual. But, I think they've got a chance. I certainly wouldn't think that they're the favorite. But with Judge in the bullpen, you never know. I mean, I wouldn't pick them, but I won't be shocked if they make a run.
John, we talk about the Cubs all the time. When I think of the Twins, I think that's very encouraging for teams like the White Sox. That here are the Sox. They, believe it or not, are now in fourth place in the division. They got a team behind them in Detroit. They've fallen apart pretty good. But the Sox were trying to win last year, and they finished in fourth place. They're trying to lose this year, and it looks like they'll finish in fourth place. So I don't know what to make of it.
Well, they were trying to – I don't think they were necessarily trying to tank, but they're not going to get the last place, so you might be disappointed about that. They may not get that. It appears they won't get that first pick, but...
that doesn't matter in baseball, does it? I mean, unless there's...
I don't know. I mean, it matters the years that A-Rod or
right.
and Griffey or Bryce Harper comes out. But most years it doesn't matter. The number one pick doesn't always become a superstar. I think, the only Hall of Famers that have been number one picks are Griffey and Chipper Jones will be in the Hall of Fame. Mm. And, you know, A-Rod, if he didn't have the steroid thing, would be in the Hall of Fame. I don't know. It depends what year it is, but the White Sox are in good shape. You should feel pretty happy about it. Giolito looks really good.
Yep.
Obviously, they have a lot of good outfielders, Luis Robert and Rutherford, and I think Moncada ultimately will be quite a good hitter at the major league level. Obviously, it's a work in progress at this point, but. I mean, I think the future looks pretty bright right now with the White Sox.
All righty, John. Thank you, buddy. Great catching up with you.
Good talking to you guys.
See you in town. Thanks.
Guy, John Heyman, MLB Network, and a fan rag, and today's knuckleball. And, I got to tell you, I feel like pretty happy about the way things are going for the Sox. They're doing all right.
Yeah, absolutely. The only concern I still have is the Rodon thing. And someone asked him about surgery the other day, and he said, I'm not sure.
312, you had to throw the water on it right at the end there. I just had to put my mind back at unrest. Mully and Hanley on the score.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.